If you would stand with me, we'd like to dismiss our children to Sunday school at this time. I'd like to turn your attention to Romans, the third chapter. I want to read about four scriptures before we're seated as a foundation. They say you get what you preach. Amen. You want miracles? You got to talk about miracles. You know what this church needs? This church needs more baptisms in Jesus' name. It really does. We can become complacent about the great thing that's happened to us. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Romans 3 and verse 23 says, "For all," would you say all? "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God," missed the mark. That's what sin means, missed the mark. "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." We've been made free from the shortcomings. Amen. "Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation," or an atonement, "through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." So there isn't any one of us who can get good enough. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but through the propitiation or the atonement of the blood of Christ, we've all been made free from this. And when you say free, it wasn't free. It's not cheap grace, folks. "Oh, I love you, Jesus. Now I'm free." No, it's a life conforming to him. And any church that gets to the place where it's easy believism, I'll tell you what, will not experience the power and the presence of God. Then if you go to Isaiah 53, Isaiah 53 and verse number 4, talking about Jesus. "Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Every one of us have turned aside. Every one of us have gone our own ways. And the trouble is, we still have the opportunity. Nothing can separate us from the love of God except you. Because God has given you a free will to walk away from this anytime. Hallelujah. And then if you go to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, I read this yesterday at the wedding. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And because of that love, he gave himself for it at Calvary, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by his word." Now, what we understand is we walk in here and there may be some imperfections in every one of us, but it's through the washing of the preaching of the word that we're sanctified again to be able to come boldly before the throne of grace in a time of need. Don't think preaching isn't important, because there is a sanctification that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. How? Through the preaching of the word. Not a little story, not a little skit, not a little film. but the preaching of the word. We're saved by the foolishness of preaching of the word. And then one more scripture, Revelation, the 19th chapter. Verse number 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. It doesn't say that God made her ready. She made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. She put on righteousness. And somehow through the word of God, we put on the righteousness that we couldn't possibly get by ourselves. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word this morning, God, that it would accomplish exactly what you'd have it accomplish. Enter into the ears and the mind and the heart. Allow us, God, to conform to it, understand it, and, Lord, be convicted by it. It's all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The scriptures liken us as sheep throughout the entire Bible. And if you ever look at the characteristics of sheep, we are much like sheep. We have a tendency to gather ourselves together. Summerfest is a perfect example of that. Baseball games and church. Because we're a social kind of being. And we want to gather ourselves. We're happier when we have crowds. And Christ is our shepherd. And sheep always need a shepherd. Or they will start to wander. They can't find food for themselves. They need to be directed and protected by the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. To the still waters, there's something about God's guidance that when I was filled with the Holy Ghost, I had the best sleep of my entire life because I put my head on a pillow knowing that I'm rapture ready. God filled me with his spirit, and there was a peace that passed all understanding that can't be gotten any other way. It's not by houses and cars and jobs and monies and relationships. It's a void that can't be filled except by God. And Isaiah 53 and 6 said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, or Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Unless you understand the nature of sheep, you really don't have a real picture of what this description of sheep and how we go astray. He left the 99 to go get one that fell in a crevice. And God's always going after some stray sheep. We have a tendency. Sheep really are pretty helpless without a shepherd. We're pretty helpless without God in our life. We cannot maintain what we need to maintain. We cannot have health. We cannot have protection. We cannot have happiness and bliss. We cannot have contentment without God in our life, always there with his hand upon us. Sheep can't clean themselves. I grew up on a farm. I know. Sheep look a mess. About this time of the year, they cannot clean themselves. There are other animals that cooperate with each other in order to clean themselves. So they get caked with dirt and parasites. So they need to be put in a sheep dip. And the farmer knows that you have to take that sheep and you put them in a bath of oil and water, and it kills all of the parasites that have been bugging them. Everything that bugs you can be taken care of in the sheep dip. The washing of the word, a little bit of the oil of the Holy Ghost, and you can walk out of here free of any kind of parasites. Oh, this thing has been bothering me. I don't understand. Well, get under the washing of the word and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And then you know what happens? The shepherd says, okay, go mingle with all the other sheep. But until you go through the sheep dip, you're going to start to infect a whole lot of other sheep. Glory to God. This stuff will preach, I'm telling you. If they fall down, it's called a cast sheep. They can't get up. That's why the shepherd has that shepherd's hook. It's in order to pick them up. Folks, sometimes we fall down and we cannot get up by ourselves. We need each other. Where have you been? I haven't seen you. Glory to God. I was raised on a farm, and at this time of the year, we would shear the sheep. And that's what I'm doing this morning. We're doing a little shearing of the sheep. Oh, there would be a lot of bleating and crying as they saw the shearers come out. And knew that they would be held really tight by the farmer, and he would start at the neck and start cutting and cutting and cutting. And, you know, after a while, they just said, okay, do it. I've seen it happen over and over again. But after they were sheared, they would start to run and they would start to jump. And there would be a freedom. It wasn't so hot like it used to be. I didn't have these feelings of things hanging on me. And they would feel good. The weight was gone. And they felt free again. Turn with me to Isaiah 64. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse number 6, it says, but we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquity or sin, like the wind, have taken us away. All of our righteousness is like filthy rags. We cannot get good. We cannot get clean. We can't pick ourselves up. Nobody can just preach a sermon and take care of it. There had to be a master shepherd who came in and said, come on over here. I'm going to hold you real tight, and I'm going to get rid of all of the junk that you've been carrying around. Those of you that prefer to carry the problems that you had 10 years and 15 years ago or 15 minutes ago, you know what? You ought to get rid of it. You ought to have the shepherd grab a hold of you and let it cut away, and then you can be free. Then you can walk up to this altar. Yes, you can run and you can jump and have the joy of the Lord. Philippians 3. Verse number 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but done, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Your righteousness, my righteousness, if you can get the picture, of the most filthy rag that you've ever seen, that's what it's like. But his righteousness is pure and clean and white. And then Ephesians, the first chapter, verse number 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption, how? Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. There's going to be a gathering together of saints and angels because of his mercy and his grace in order to clean us up before we left this place. Two more scriptures, Isaiah 1 and 18. An invitation. Isaiah 1 and verse number 18. Come now and let us reason. And the word reason there means be right together. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. They're going to be white. Come now. Let's reason together. He's making the invitation not only to the people who don't know God, but the people who know God. Come now. And then Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner fire and like fuller's soap. He's the one who burns it away. He's the one who washes it. Who can stand when I come? Who's going to be ready when I come? I'd like to talk a little bit about dirt this morning. I've heard it said that we're just glorified dirt balls, you know? God formed us from the dust of the earth. He breathed the breath of life into us in order to make us humans. But then on the day of Pentecost, he breathed his spirit in us to make us alive spiritually. Amen. And even though we have the breath of life until that day when we take our last breath, the breath of God that has been breathed in us when we were filled with the Holy Ghost will be there forever. It is that quickening spirit that will raise us from the dead. Now, I'm going to talk about dirt, and I'm going to be using the Bible in a book that my daughter gave me some time ago. It was entitled, Talking Dirty with the Queen of Clean. It can change your life with chapters like, Get the Dirt on Home Cleaning. Perspiration stains are the pits. Taming dust bunnies without a whip. Do away with window panes. Get out of the bathroom sooner. And the nose knows the big cover-up. These are areas that concern everyone. Most all of my ties are red, and the reason most all of my ties are red is because I love to eat cheeseburgers. Ketchup seems to always drip on my ties. But now that I know how to get rid of ketchup stains out of my ties, there may be some cheeseburgers in my future. You just dab club soda on them in order to blot it off. It brings the spill to the surface, and then it can be removed easily. I've taken ties to the cleaners, and they've literally ruined them because they didn't know how to get the stains out. There are some people who have been ruined because they went to a place where they didn't know how to get the stains out. And they said that they were gone, but it was obvious they were still there. Did you know that shave cream is one of the best spots and stain removers there is? And that's because it's really whipped soap is all it is. The author said that shave cream has saved me more than once. Now I use shave cream every morning, But I'm going to tell you that shave cream has never saved me once. WD-40 gets the grease out. It takes off salad dressing and even crayons. Now, aren't you glad you came this morning? The author said the biggest mistake people make is that they try something to get the stain out, not knowing whether or not it's really going to work. She said, are you one of those people who think that directions are what you need to find out once you did something wrong? There is a fine line in getting the stain out and setting the stain forever. God has given us a very explicit instructions in cleansing within the Bible. It's not open for discussion. It's not open for interpretation. It's not open for opinion. How do you do it? Now, you know, we do it this way. You know, my mother had an old way that she got the stains out. I have a mother that sometimes worked on garments so hard to get the stain out that she ruined the garment. Could there be some churches that work on the condemnation of sin to the point where people say, that's it, I'm not going to church anymore? They changed the formula in cleaning 3 times last year. I'm just not going to go through it again. Glory to God. I've heard many man-made manuals on how to get the dirt out. I've heard them all. Accept the Lord as your Savior. Confess your sins to a priest. Live the best you can. Do good works. Be faithful. Pray, fast, give to the poor. But what does the Bible say about getting the stains out? Hallelujah. My grandmother used to make her own soap. You know, it was way back. I'm old, man. And then later she bought this soap, which was called Fels Naphtha. Man, it would take out anything, including the fabric. You know, use it on your face. You guys wouldn't have to shave for a week. It just takes it right down. Hallelujah. So let's just walk down the detergent aisle at the grocery store. Everybody claims that their soap is the one and only formula in order to get clean. You can now shout out your stains with shout. We do a lot of shouting in this church, but the shouting isn't going to get rid of your sins. No matter how much you praise God, it's just not going to work. And there are a lot of people who praise God out loud, but they're still not going to be ready for the rapture. You can't shout away your sins. You can buy cheer detergent. You could be the happiest church on the face of the earth, but happy people won't get rid of your sins. It's just a bunch of happy Amway party. Glory to God. Anybody here this morning? What about tide? Tide would be good, you know? Let the tide come over and wash the dirt out. Some people make their own soap. You really need oil, salt, and alkali, and with a lot of perfume in order to cover up the odors, because it doesn't take away the stain. It just covers it up. And I could do a big cover-up this morning instead of a shearing. You know, you people are so nice. Every one of you, you know. I don't know what you did this week, but you're nice. You're saved. Oh, I'm so glad you came. Just by coming, God just loves you. Just come as you are and stay as you are. That stinks, folks. No, we need to go to the formula that's in the Bible. They say the best thing for a ring around a collar is to wash your neck. Clean up the person and the garments look great. But put a dirty person in white garments, it won't be long. You know what? You need to change your lifestyle if you want to look good to God. Hallelujah. God is not going to change his mind. He isn't. It's going to be his way or the highway. Glory to God. Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation, the 7th chapter. Next week we'll have an evangelist. You'll be all right. Revelation 7 and 14. And he said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which have come out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So apparently the only detergent that really will make us white is the blood of the Lamb. What can wash my sins away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I have to have that blood applied to you, not by shaking my hands, not by accepting what the Word of God says, but there has to be some action. Jesus said on that day in Matthew 7 and 21, many will say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works in thy name? And he said, depart from me, I never knew you. He that doeth the will of my Father, the same. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, let me tell you about the finest cleanser this world. Has ever known. Although, nobody can afford it. It costs more than we have. It never, ever fails to get the stains out. I don't know care how deep it is, how long they've been there. I don't care how many people have worked on them before, but there is a detergent that will take away the stains. Not only remove it, but forget they're never there. It'll make the garments look like they were brand new. We were at the wedding yesterday, and we were at the meal after, and someone said, I can't remember who, I remember the story that you said about your daughter's wedding dress, and some of you have heard it, some haven't. I paid an enormous amount of money for my daughter's wedding dress, but because I still love her, I'm getting over it now. Brought it home, was in this beautiful bag, you know, and the day finally came. And my wife took it out of the bag and she put it in the back seat of the car, but as she was sliding it into the back seat of the car, the front of the dress rubbed on the door frame and there was this black grease mark about that long on the front of the dress. I was ready to leave home, folks. There was crying and screaming everywhere. And so without even telling me, my wife went to the cleaners, directly to the cleaners, and they worked on the dress for an hour and a half, with every kind of solvent, every kind of degreaser that you could possibly imagine, and it never looked any better. So instead of bringing it home, she brought it to the church and hung it in the room downstairs, you know, and there was still some, you know, wetness from the cleaner. And I remember my daughter called and said, Mom, how does the dress look? My wife said, don't worry, it will be fine. It's the first time I've ever heard her lie in church. Could have been faith, though, you know. I'm thinking the only thing that's going to get that thing out is the scissors. But she came, and by the time she walked into the room, the stain had disappeared completely. And she walked down that aisle. It was a little shorter back then. And it was a beautiful white dress. Some of you think, man, I don't know how I got to this point. I've been careful. But there's stains in my life. And I've tried everything to get away from it. I've gone through spiritual gymnastics and mental anguish because there's some things in my past. Well, I've got a cleaner I've got to recommend to you. His name is Jesus. Come now. Come now. Let's reason together. Hallelujah. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Hallelujah. This cleanser is the most precious fluid on the face of the earth. No matter how deep and penetrating, no matter how long the stain has been there, it defies any dirt this world can come up with. It's been working for over 2,000 years. And it's not just a cover-up, but it's a complete eradication of all of the stains so that you would never believe that it was ever there, and no one will ever know except you and him. Glory to God. He takes you into the back room. He doesn't display our imperfections and our stains. He doesn't do that. He does it so discreetly. All we have to do is come to him, confess our sins. That's all he's saying. It is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The cost was staggering, yet it made me free. And it is free for anyone who wants sin removed. Just one drop can cleanse the entire world. What can wash my sins away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. God's book could be titled Talking Clean by the King of Kings. Amen. Chapter after chapter after chapter, it describes how his blood has removed every trace of every sin that man has ever produced. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's incredible. Amen. It cleanses the conscience. Amen. It cleanses the body. It makes us right. Just one application. It'll take the stains of adultery and fornication and murder, drunkenness and drugs, abusers, homosexuality, pornography, abortion, liars, cheats, extortioners. If you can come up with a sin, we have a stain for it. Not only that the stains would disappear, but the stains would never be remembered again. The problem is that we can remember even though the stains are gone. What can wash my sins away? Nothing but the blood. Nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. No matter how hard people have tried to get rid of their sins and their efforts of it, it still comes back to the surface over and over again. I've been in prison services with hundreds of guys, Brother Shoddy, Brother Bear, Brother Moran, and Brother Showman. All of you, Brother Fitch, that go into the prison, and we preach this message. We don't change it for anything. And you know, then the chaplain many times in the past has come up and said, how many want to be saved? And they raise their hands, and then they have the sinner's prayer. You know, do you confess that Jesus is your Savior? And next time we come back, how many want to be saved? And the same people who raised their hands the last time, you know, raise their hands again. Do you know why? Because they know the stains haven't been removed. They need to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. I was telling Brother Wakefield when he was here, it's so strange, we baptized, I don't know, close to 2,000 men in Jesus' name, is many of them filled with the Holy Ghost, many of them, you know, come from horrible backgrounds, and many of them are serving life sentences for dastardly deeds. Now, I remember some years ago, I was preaching a message. We have one service for a group, and then there's a half an hour pause when they leave, and another group comes in, 300 come in, and then another 300 come in. And I was preaching that first service, and I was preaching on the blood. and baptism in Jesus' name. Well, the chaplain was sitting on the front row and he was giving me the body language. You know? How dare you? How dare you? That's not it. Looking at his watch, trying to intimidate me to stop. You know? But God's got a way of breaking down situations like that. You don't have to deal with it. God will deal with it. So here he was from Africa, and he was wearing this African robe, bright colored, and he had this hat on, you know? And so I walk up to him. I know I'm annoying him already. And I walk up to him, and I say, yeah, I really like your outfit, you know? And he didn't think that that was such a good comment. And I said, no, I really do. I've got one like that at home. And now he's really thinking I'm arrogant. And I said, no, I went to Africa, and I preached for a group of people. They asked me for my measurements, and they made me a tailor-made robe and slacks and the whole deal. My wife a hat, you know, and robe. And he said, yeah, where? And I said, in Nigeria. And he said, Nigeria? Where in Nigeria? And I said, Enugu. He said, that's my hometown, buddy. God will make a way, folks, where there is no way, folks. Amen. Turn to Psalms 51, please. As far as I'm concerned, this is probably the greatest chapter in the book of Psalms because it is the recorded repentance of the man after God's own heart, after he has committed adultery, after he has conspired to commit murder, after God has put him on a throne to be the example for all of God's people. And verse 1 says, have mercy upon me, this is David, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. He knew enough that he had to be cleansed. He had to be freed from his sins. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. You know, God cannot wash away our sins until we acknowledge them. Amen. Confess them. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. You know what? I do not want to be separated from you. Therefore, I need for you to cleanse me. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts and in the hidden parts. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now, sometimes there are people within the congregation that do not believe this scripture, that God can create a new heart within us. Take those old things away from the desires that we have to deal with over and over again. Have you asked them? Take it away, God. Create it. Me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Church isn't so exciting anymore. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Folks, the key to revival is that we have a right spirit within us. And understand that God has taken all of the iniquity away, and now we have a boldness to come to people and say, you know what? God loves you and so do I. Would you come to church? But if I'm not right with God, I'm not teaching a Bible study. I'm not witnessing to anybody. I've seen people ruin garments because they tried the wrong thing in order to get the stain out. I wonder how many Christians have been ruined by churches working on their condemnation, not using the blood of Jesus, until they just couldn't take it any longer and said, I'm not going to church. I was one of those. Most likely, you were one of them. Went through the tradition, went through the motions, but you know what? I just didn't feel clean. I just didn't feel like I could have this communion with God. All right, coming to an end. Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Hebrews 9, verse number 12. It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us forever and ever. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purged your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You see, you have to have a good conscience in order to serve God. I feel good about my relationship. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 6. Verse number 9. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. How? In the name? We were baptized in the name of Jesus. And by the Spirit of God, filled with the Holy Ghost. Every time I have used soap or cleanser in my life, I had to have something combined with it. And that was always water. The best soap in the world, if it's not combined with water, isn't going to do any good. There has to be an application of the cleansing agent in the water, and the blood is applied in the water of baptism. Too many churches do studies of the blood. They sing about the blood, but they never apply the blood in baptism because that would be works. No, that's obedience. It's not works. It's obedience. Yes, the Bible is many things to us. It's promise, it's protection, it's blessing and more, but its main purpose is a book to show how to get the stains out. That's really what the book says. Because without that, without his righteousness applied to us, we can't get close to God. We don't have a relationship with God. I tell people as I baptize them in Jesus' name, I've said, now you are able to get as close to God as you want, as you want. God wants to now get closer to you. Why? But because sin is a reproach to God. When he sees his righteousness on you, now he can embrace you like he has never embraced you before. Now he's responsible for you. Glory to God. Two more scriptures. 1 Peter 3. Verse number 20, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing. That's what's happening. Church is being prepared. Wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism thus also now save us. Can't tell you how many denominational people wish they could rip this out of the Bible. baptism doth now also save us. How? Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. It's not a matter of cleaning this flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I understand that baptism is going to save me because the blood is now mingled in the water and it's applied to my life. It's washing away my sins. Amen. Hallelujah. Acts 22. There's a denominational church not too far from here that has on its marquee, baptism is for the washing away of sins. And it has listed Acts 2 and 38 and Acts 22 and 16. And I thought, wow, they got it. But how do they apply it? Acts 22, verse 16. Ananias is saying to a newly converted Paul, "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord," or having the name of the Lord called over you. Hallelujah. I don't know how I got it, but I got it. And the day you seek me with all your heart, that's the day you're going to find me. God's going to open your understanding. You need to be born of the water and born of the Spirit, or you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You will not have the knowledge. But I'm telling you, there was something in me that says, that's right. Hallelujah. This is the book of clean. Hallelujah. This is the book that gets rid of the stains, folks. This is the book that will make your conscience free. This is the book that allows you to approach the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? I don't know if there's somebody in here that has some stains. But I know two ways of doing it. If you've already been baptized in Jesus' name, all you have to do is confess, and the Lord. He'll sanctify you and cleanse you. But if you've not been baptized in Jesus' name, I'm telling you, there's only one way to get the stain out. And that's to walk up to this place and say, "Pastor, I need to be baptized in Jesus' name. I want that whiter than snow feeling. I want that blood applied to my life. I want to put on the robes of righteousness." Glory to God. Amen. There are all kinds of books. There are some books that had to have special glasses in order to read. But I'll tell you what, there's only one book that'll tell you how to get saved and how to stay saved. Amen. And it's this book. This altar is open. Would you come?